home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to be sharing message today. Thank you so much, Mari and Dad, and everybody who's shared this morning. It just fits in so amazingly. It's fantastic. I am looking at two screens, so forgive me if I look like a little bit like a yo-yo or something. I'm really excited to share the message today. I love Advent. If you haven't heard, I was a whole hour early this morning. I was that excited. I got here before 10 o'clock, thinking it was 11 o'clock. There we are. Well, I love Advent. I love Christmas. I know there might be some people here who love Christmas like me. There might be some grumpy Grinches amongst us. But yes, I love Christmas, and I love the whole thing about getting ready for Christmas. I love the Christmas jumpers, which I have got mine on today. I love the buying gifts when you know what people want. I love the Christmas decorations, fairy lights, the Christmas trees, the food, the cozy evenings, the mulled wine, chocolate, food, the films, the Christmas music. I know that we can't meet with family and friends as we normally do this year, but that is a wonderful time as well. And I also love the busy atmosphere. I used to work in retail, and my favourite day of the week, the year to work, was Christmas Eve, because so many people were just happy and wearing their Christmas jumpers and their Santa hats, and it was just a lovely atmosphere. But you know, Christmas is so much more than fairy lights and tinsel and turkey for those of us who put our hope in the Lord. And today's reading is normally one that's actually read much more closer to Christmas, but I give no apologies for reading it now, because it's just such a wonderful moment in history to ponder on. So Basma is going to kindly read the scripture. It is Luke 2:8-20. So if you've got your Bibles, look at the screen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Did you hear us? We decided you come and live with us for month of December, because it's the same here. So you're more than welcome. We go mad. But as you said rightly, it's not about that. It's because it reminds us of how blessed we are and what happened and what we are celebrating. I'm going to read from Luke 2. Verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they have been told. Amen.
Thank you, Bethany. Thank you so much. So the excitement, the anticipation, the longing for a Messiah, a Savior to come, were grounded hundreds of years before in the likes of the prophets of Isaiah and Daniel. And actually, there's this, I'm going to send you, if I remember, on WhatsApp, and see if I can put it on Facebook, of this short film. It's a 20-minute film, I think it's called The Shepherds, and it is beautiful, and it really depicts this waiting and hoping in the Messiah. I really encourage you to watch it. If I send it to you, I'll try and remember. But we enter Israel in the beginning of the Gospels under this rigid and suppressive rule of the Roman occupation. And the Jews wanted to be delivered. And it really reminded me actually today of some ethnic minority groups that really are looking to be delivered and for a saviour to be saved. And the Jews were looking for a saviour. And so here we are. We're in a field one night and with a bunch of shepherds, and it's a night like any other, except they witness what has to be one of the most crazy and profound moments in history. An angel of the Lord appears to them in the glory of the Lord, because this angel has been in the presence of the Lord, and fulfills their hope. The Messiah has come, and they are invited and welcome to visit him at that moment. If this wasn't enough, a whole host of others, in my version it says the armies of heaven. That's crazy. The armies of heaven just turn up and appear and respond to the words that have just been spoken, of the truth and the hope that was just proclaimed on earth. For the first time for mankind to hear, praising God and rejoicing in the Lord, saying glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased with. I don't know if you can imagine and put yourself in the position of one of those shepherds. This was a terrifying moment. This was a holy moment. It was a glorious moment. It was a profound moment, and I'm always amazed that the Lord chose to reveal himself to a bunch of shepherds, lowly shepherds, in such a radical and glorious way. But then I'm not, because actually one of the names that the Lord calls himself is the shepherd, the good shepherd. And I just find that really interesting, that God revealed himself to the shepherds, but he also revealed himself to the wise men, to the kings. And that's another name for God, king. And so right then and there, God shows himself to those who are poor, almost outcast, if you like, of society. And then he shows himself to the kings as well, to the wise. God came for absolutely everyone. And also in that as well, we see God came for the Jew and he came for the Gentile. And these people, they didn't know who the Messiah was going to be or end up doing. And their hope was fulfilled right then and there, in that open space, in the dark, surrounded by the radiance of God. And they went and found the baby exactly as they were told. And something really amazing happens now that is always missed from nativity plays and of our understanding of this phenomenon. Verse 17 says, After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened about this child. The shepherds went out and told the good news that the Messiah had come out through a bunch of shepherds. But now a new hope for the future was formed, that they would be delivered and set free. The Messiah was just a baby, and they had to wait until he was older for this new hope to be fulfilled. To be delivered from what? Well, the Roman occupation, sickness, poverty. There were so many views of the Messiah and what the Messiah would be and do, and that it was so widely debated and passionately discussed. But we know today how the story goes. Jesus came to deliver them from their sin. Yes, he did heal the sick. Yes, he did raise people from the dead. He fed the poor. He teaches truth. But it was the darkness of sin that Jesus came to deliver them from ultimately. And by God's grace, he was born to be a sacrifice for the whole of humanity and of the whole of creation as well. If you want to go and check that out, read Romans 8. For those who believed in Jesus, the Messiah, and what he did in dying on the cross and rising again, their hope was fulfilled. So we have the hope of being fulfilled in the Saviour, Jesus coming and being born, and we have the hope being fulfilled in those who believed in the Saviour, Jesus delivering from sin. But then a new hope for the future was installed, which is the same hope that we carry today. Firstly, that Jesus, the Messiah, comes to us today and anyone who welcomes him to change us, to redeem us from sin, to transform us into his likeness, to give us an everlasting joy, which is freedom from death and into full life with God. The second hope that we carry is this, that Christ will come again in glory. Acts 1:11, the angels tell the disciples Jesus is coming back in the same way you saw him go. Matthew 24 and 25, the chapters, this is all about the end times, Jesus talking about his returning. And there's that parable of the 10 bridesmaids there, the warning us that we need to be ready because we do not know the time or the day when he will return. And Revelation 21:20 has to be one of my favourite verses, actually, in the Bible. It's just, you know, Jesus says this, yes, I am coming soon. Why are we hoping in Jesus' return? To fulfil the prophecy spoken before us, because the foundation of his kingdom is justice and righteousness, because God is the Lord of all, of God of life and of all creation. Because ultimately God loves us so much, he desires to save us from death and to live with him. We are hope bearers. Jesus, just like the shepherds who went out to proclaim the fulfillment of their hopes for the Saviour, we too must go and proclaim that same message. We carry the hope of Christ in us. We know the story of Bethlehem to Calvary, from Calvary to life. We are hope bearers. We are not hope bearers of the worldly sense. The world offers a fake, a deceitful, futile, fruitless hope that just doesn't last. It's a dead end. The world's hope is full of happiness that lasts only a moment, which eventually brings death and decay. We are hope bearers of God's justice and righteousness. We are hope bearers of the truth and of joy. We are hope bearers bringing light of Jesus into the darkness. The hope of Christ, who is the Messiah, lasts forever. It's not just a day or a year or even a lifetime, but forever. Hannah Heather, who is from 24/7 Prayer, calls this hope an abnormal hope. It's a hope that the world does not know of, and we are to share it. She says four things that hope is. One, hope brings perspective. We start to see things differently. We start to see the world as God sees it. Two, hope brings life. Hope brings life from death, life from darkness, life to hope from hopelessness. Hope, number three, hope is a gift. Hope never disappoints. The hope in Christ is given by the Holy Spirit. And four, hope is resistance. Hope builds us up. Suffering is a factory of hope. So we are hope bearers. Hope bearers because what has been, what is today, and what is going to come in Christ's return. Romans 5, 3 to 5 says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strength of confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We are hope bearers because Christ is the hope of salvation, which does not lead to disappointment. Because we give thanks and adoration for the filling up of the Holy Spirit and of God's love. Something else that Hannah Heather said is this: hope is dangerous. Hope refuses to bow to fear, but always goes lower to serve. Hope knows there is so much more available. This is not all there is. This pandemic is just another doorway to hope, because hope is, it's a factory of hope. So what are you eagerly hoping and waiting for in this Advent? Perhaps you feel you need to take time to reflect on the first coming of Jesus this Advent. And I really encourage you to read Luke 1 and 2 and ponder and reflect on it. Maybe pick a couple of verses. Maybe it's the story of the shepherds. Go over it with your head. Put yourself in their shoes. Perhaps it's taking time to ask yourself, what is God doing in me now that is developing hope? What problems, what trials am I going through? Perhaps it's reflecting on things of the past and praising God for what he has done in you through them. Is God giving you endurance and strength of character? Or how about how am I able to be a hope bearer today to others around me? Or maybe it's about pondering on what is to come, the hope in Christ's return, and ask that incredibly tough question: what am I doing to get ready for his coming? What is my attitude in this time of waiting? And I'm going to end with a prayer that is on the Lectio 365 app. I know some of you do it, and it's a beautiful prayer, and it uses this word, which is a Aramaic word called Maranatha, and it means something like, come, Lord Jesus. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to say it slowly so you can, if you want, repeat after me. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you sent your Son to save us. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. May Jesus be born again amongst us this Christmas. Thank you, Jesus, that you came before and you are coming again in glory. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We long for you to return and make all things new. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling my life. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. May the Lord Jesus Christ be born again in me today. Lord God, help us to be your hope bearers to those around us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to know how to speak and act in this world. Lord Jesus, our Jesus, come and fill us now. Amen.
Thank you.